Say something. Why do you keep moving this?
I didn't like where it was.
Why didn't you like where it was?
In front of my face.
You don't like it in front of your face?
No.
I don't get it.
Hey guys, you're listening to the Approach Podcast, your go-to spot for all things wellness and intermittent fasting. We're your hosts, Adam and Victoria, here to spill the beans on how to feel your best and live your healthiest life. So if you're ready to kick those bad habits to the curb and embrace the intermittent fasting lifestyle, stick around because we've got some seriously awesome tips and tricks coming your way.
Hello, everybody. What is going on? This is Adam Potash. You are listening to the Approach Podcast. As always, I have my wonderful sidekick today. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Do you like being called a sidekick? You're more the main show than me, but
I like being a sidekick. I think that's quite cool.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with it. We've had a very busy week here at the Approach. Lots of members. It's kind of the sign of the times. Obviously, I think, you know, some of those initial New Year's gym memberships are running out, and people are realizing that that didn't work for them and they wanted to get healthy and do it right and stuff like that. So it's been exciting over here.
It's so exciting. And people are just having the most incredible results so quickly as well, in terms of like, not just weight loss, but like more energy and just really feeling like they're getting a handle on their lives, which is just so important. So yeah, our inboxes are just full of
really amazing. We've been working nonstop. I mean, Victoria, you were up at like 2 a.m. the other day. It's been nonstop over here, but yes, you're absolutely right. It has been exciting. People are finally getting a grasp, as you said, on their life, on their health, and starting to do the right things, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I really do. That's the one thing that does always kind of hit home with me with our members, is just getting a grasp on their lives and feeling like they're back in control again. And I think a lot of that is also to do with what we're going to talk about today in terms of emotional eating and why people maybe have those bad habits in the first place, and, you know, how transformative it can be when they get their lives back on track.
With that said, I'm very excited to introduce our guest. Eric, how are you doing?
Doing splendid. Thanks for having me on, Adam.
How's the weather? You're in Calgary, is that right?
I'm in Calgary and the weather is splendid. It is, well, March is usually very snowy, but I don't see a lot of snow on the ground, so that's a great thing.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I've had some members over there, so I kind of keep in touch with them, and sometimes they get like snowed in, like they can't even leave. So
that happens.
I don't know what that's like. I'm in sunny South Florida, so it's every day is pretty nice over here. It's like 75 and sun is shining, so it's good. But I am very excited to talk with you because, yes, it's not a, I think, you know, the stuff that the work that you do is not something that we talk about all the time. And we don't kind of dive into it as much as we can or should. We leave it up to, you know, people like yourself, the experts, when it comes to, you know, depression, emotional eating. We touch upon it, but I'm so excited to kind of get your take on and learn more about what you do.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. So just dive in. Tell us, you know, you're certified in, just go ahead. Tell us all your accolades there.
Yeah. So I'm a Canadian certified counselor. I'm originally from the States as well, Adam, not Florida, but Tennessee.
Okay. That's where that accent's coming from.
Guilty as charged.
Throw me off there.
Yeah. My wife is from Calgary, so I surrendered up here probably about 10 years ago. Surrendered is a bit of a harsh word, but that's what happened. And yeah, I've been doing inpatient work here in Calgary and also outpatient work. I have my own private practice. I work for some other clinics in the area. I work for a nonprofit organization as a consultant for them. And yes, I approach treatment holistically. So that's the short end of the stick for me.
That's what we're all about. So are you seeing, I guess, an increase over the years, I guess, since COVID, especially in Canada, right? Canada was completely closed down for a long time. So are you seeing an increase in some of these symptoms and health concerns?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Especially when it comes to the emotional pieces like the loneliness or the social disconnection. Yeah.
And how, like, what are some things that you use in your kind of tool bag of tricks to kind of help people? Cause again, I've seen it with family members. Like it's crazy. Like, and you know, obviously during COVID things kind of got a little weird and wacky, and, you know, we saw family and Victoria, maybe you saw the same thing. I know you're tight with your family. Maybe you saw some distance with family members that you never thought would have happened before. And the depression set in and then the weight gain started happening. And so what are some, I guess, tips and tricks that you kind of utilize?
Something you guys were talking about earlier as far as exercise. I mean, even for those with ADHD, exercise is almost equivalent or equivalent to medication use. And so I would say that that is a huge one, is recreational activities that involve other people socially, and being able to get people out there again is huge. It's not something that's mind-boggling. It's just getting back to those simple as far as this is what you need to do. It's just working on the motivation.
Yeah, no, I like that. We are all about that here. Keeping it simple. I love how we started diving into the conversation. I feel like, Eric, you got into your therapy voice there. It's pretty cool. I love it. I just, you know, my cortisol level just went down in 2 seconds by listening to you. Victoria, what questions might have? Because I know, again, this is like a hot topic these days and something that we all need to discuss.
Well, I was just going to say, just off the back of that comment about exercise, I know it's something in the course that we have as part of our program, when people say like, oh, when do I start working out? They're always looking for us to give them kind of at home, do it yourself, watch a video where they can just work out. And of course we give them all of those things because for a lot of people that's very practical. But we also have so many modules where we say, look, here's a load of activities that you can get involved in that are also social. And I think that's a huge, huge thing. And whether it's a class or, you know, even just meeting up with someone to go and play tennis or something, like that sort of community social side of exercise, I think is quite often not talked about nowadays, because it can be so easy to just log in, do a workout one-on-one with someone that's pre-recorded and feel like you've done your workout. And I think although you're getting the physical movement, I wonder how much you're losing out on in terms of that kind of workout spirit that you get when you work out with someone else and you leave really, really energized. And that I think it contributes to the adrenaline and how well your body performs in exercise. So I'd kind of be interested to hear you talk more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those two are the golden nugget as far as exercise and having the social interaction together. I mean, we find with those with emotional eating concerns that there's often that low dopamine and low serotonin. And so when we're able to have that connection, yes, it can increase that dopamine and that serotonin. That's what we're really seeking when it comes to acting out with the food, is not just the food itself, but the feeling the food may give me or the feeling it may take away from me. And when it comes to social connection, that's what I can get from those interactions, is those feelings naturally.
Yeah, this is such an interesting thing. I'm so glad you brought that up, because so I train my wife and some clients here in my house. And although it's great and there's a small social aspect, my wife will also then go to a Pilates class or a yoga class or something simply for the social connection. I mean, she loves the workout, obviously, but just, you know, if she was just doing this and being stuck in the house, like, she'd probably kill me. So she likes to get out there, you know, chat with some friends and see other people. So yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think it is a huge, huge piece.
Yeah. Even when I was doing martial arts, it was very similar. Like, sure, I could do these videos, as you were mentioning, pre-recorded, yet it's the actual interaction with the other folks that were there.
Yeah. I have a question. I don't know how much you work with children, but obviously there's a concern these days with, you know, children being less and less social on their phones. And I'm sure that's, you're seeing again, the drops in dopamine and less connection and social interaction. So what do we do about this, you know, kind of epidemic that's going on?
It is so challenging, because a lot of kids, especially if they're quite young, I've known their whole life has been spent a great portion in front of a screen. Mm-hmm. And so it's very challenging to talk with them, because their environment, their peer group, maybe even parents, they're all maybe doing similar behaviors. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's a hard buy-in. I mean, when the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of change, I'll make that change. And for a lot of young people, there is.
I need that quote right there. That, yeah. I do a quote every morning, and that's a great quote. Say that one more time for us.
Yeah, I wish it was original.
That's okay. I don't have much original ones myself. So,
when the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of change, then I won't make that change. And I mean, the first time I heard that was when I was doing work in addiction primarily. However, that's what it seems like for a lot of kids. There's this dependence. And so how do we treat that? Well, we could maybe apply that to kids holistically, biopsychosocial, spiritual, and we can get into this if we need to, but we're really talking about the bio a lot this morning, like the exercise piece, getting out piece. Mm-hmm. Maybe that needs to be in small chunks starting out.
Sure. And, you know, the reason I kind of bring this up is I just instilled a rule in my house. I think we talked about this maybe on the last podcast we did. Well, I tried to instill the rule and it didn't work out. So now I have papers all over our kitchen table that say the consequences of you bringing your phone to the kitchen table. So we are doing the hardest. But one thing that kind of hit me was because you said the parents are just as at fault as the kids. And I'm so in agreement with you, because even we're on the phones, we're telling our kids not to be on the phones at the kitchen table. Yet what are we doing? And we use the excuse, oh, I'm doing work. I need to get this done. And it's like, and I turned to my wife yesterday, I said, I said, read rule number one. For no reason, under any circumstances, do we. And so I made this kind of like little funny, you know, memo to put on the table. But you're absolutely right. We get trapped, and if we want to, I guess, lead by example, it's very tough to do sometimes.
It's tough. Yeah, nobody's perfect. No parent is. Where's the manual, right? No perfect parent whatsoever. It's like the commercial where the family of four is at the table and the kids are on their phones. And then the father reaches underneath the table and brings out an old school typewriter and like throws it on the table and starts, you know, doing his typewriter, looks over at the kids. What's wrong? What, you know?
Yeah.
So he's trying to encapsulate to them what they're doing. But parents have to look at it too. When it comes to even couples, emotional disconnection often happens with electronics. So it's just something to be aware of. And
love it. I mean, I'm sure we can spend hours talking about this kind of stuff. You have a book coming out. Is that right?
I do, in May this year.
Talk to us about that.
It's called The Martial Art of Recovery, How to Subdue Addiction and Achieve Mental Wellness. And so I have a background in martial arts. And so it's the intersection of martial arts concepts with addiction recovery and mental health treatment.
And I've heard about this before. You know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, people can use this martial arts kind of background and apply it to almost everything in life. I'm not a huge, I wish I was a huge, but I'm not. But I have heard this theory of like everything that you learn there, you can kind of just apply it everywhere, right?
Yes. And you could be, Adam. You could be.
I wish. I love it. I went about a month ago and got my butt handed to me at a kind of little open workout in martial arts. There were so many moves. I mean, they were like, you know, taking my pinky and like, I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. Like, you know, there's all these things that I just wasn't aware of. But yeah, I'd love to. Trust me.
Yeah. Adam, I've been on many floors for sure when I was in martial arts. So the concepts of respect, of self-discipline, of the importance of form as a foundation for a lot of things in our life, even with like communication, the importance of self-control and community. Yeah, there's so many different concepts that that connect with things in our life.
Yeah, and it's usually those people that can like beat you up in one move are like the nicest humans on the planet, right? They're like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Any other questions, Victoria? I mean, again, this is such an interesting topic.
Yeah, I'm really interested in terms of emotional eating for kind of our listeners. What is it that if people feel that they kind of eat because there's an emotional void or something, you know, what tips would you advise them to do to kind of fill that void, I guess?
Yeah, so I would look at this from, again, like the biopsychosocial spiritual model and looking at the unhelpful thinking habits, being able to challenge those for food and even self-affirmations. Like there's two, one of them, two of these are from Katie Poirier. She's from Edmonton. She specializes in eating disorders. And those two are, my body is not an ornament, it's an instrument, and my body is the least interesting thing about me.
Wow, these are all quotes I'm going to be using, okay?
You're welcome. Yeah. Absolutely. And so being able to do those affirmations, work on those self-defeating beliefs, doing some self-soothing activities with other people, or, you know, for myself, by myself, getting out into nature, the spiritual piece is huge, creativity. Those are some of the suggestions.
You know, I think we all take some of those small things, for granted, right? Is going for a walk. And again, these are things that we've talked about this so much. We've done all these things during COVID. I used to ride my bike every day during COVID. Now it's got two flat tires and I haven't been on it in a year, you know? And so all these little things, I think you're absolutely right. Just getting back to the basics of getting out there and just doing stuff.
Absolutely. Getting out there and doing stuff. Emotional regulation is huge.
Yeah.
Which can be done by getting out there and doing stuff.
Of course. Yeah. The chicken or the egg, right? Kind of thing. Yeah. Very, very cool. This has been awesome. I'm sure you're amazing and helping so many people. I think you might have missed your calling as a voiceover person, or maybe for the Calm app. Yeah, you can maybe apply for that. I'm like so like relaxed right now. This is incredible. But again, when does your book come out?
Right now, tentative May 14th. We'll see. But right now, that's the date.
And do you do kind of virtual counseling as well for some of our listeners?
Yep, I can do virtual, in person. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, why don't you plug yourself right now? And we'll put your information, obviously, when we post this podcast. But go right ahead.
Sure. So
find you.
RecoveryArtsCounseling.com. And since I'm up here in Canada, that's with two L's. So like Martial Arts Recovery Arts Counseling at Instagram, all together as far as the words, Recovery Arts Counseling on LinkedIn. You can find me professionally on LinkedIn as well. And I'm on the old Facebook as well with Recovery Arts Counseling. So you can find me that way.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on here with us. Thank you for your time. For all of you listening out there, if you guys want more information about the Approach program, just go to jointheapproach.com. We're here to help you out, or simply download the app. Thank you very much.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. If you're ready to become part of the Approach family, then download the Approach app today. Don't forget to listen in next week for more Approach-approved wellness.